Strengthen your immune system with Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C and get 10% off. Quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Welcome to One Qi, the home of Qigong on UK Health Radio. We're a community of Qigong teachers and students exploring similarities and embracing our differences. And here is your host, Clara Polo.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to One Qi. I am Clara Apollo, Qigong teacher and pioneer of authentic ways to express truth, gather vitality, and manage life as well as I possibly can with energy-based movements, meditations, and sound. Now, Qigong is a huge topic and yet remarkably simple in many ways. And so, as you can imagine, I have a lot that I would love to share with you. So it's absolutely brilliant that I have my colleagues here from the One Qi Project, John Miller and Jeremy College, to help shine more light on this huge topic. Now, I've actually edited up a conversation that was originally released on our YouTube channel, One Qi, just a couple of months ago now. But here we talk about the project and how it came into being, and share insights into the world of Qigong from different angles. And this illustrates how easily accessible this practice could be to help increase your health and enhance your life. So let me introduce you to them now and open up the conversation all about Qi, your vital life force energy. And on this episode, we're going to dive really deeply into one of my favorite topics, and that is Qigong. And some of you might be going, what is she going on about? Qi what? Well, I have two esteemed colleagues with me here on this episode. I have John Miller and Jeremy College to dissect the Qigong topic and see if we can shine some light, because we are indeed at the beginning of this One Qi project. I said the beginning, actually, we started chatting about it last January, but let's invite them in and let's see what we can get up to with demystifying the world of Qigong and how it can help you with your everyday life. So welcome, John and Jeremy.
Hi, Clara.
So should we start with the first question? What is Qigong and why do you do it? Who wants to go first?
I'll dive in.
Okay, Jeremy.
There's a kind of stock phrase that everybody uses, Qi is energy and gung is work. And so that's a very kind of very, very simple translation of the Chinese words, which doesn't do it great benefit, but John could elaborate a bit further, I suspect.
Yeah, and also I would like to just say that with work, it feels like it's something that you have to do, that you have to try to do, whereas I think there's a playful quality here. So I often say that Qigong is energy, work, play, or it's the cultivation of the play within the work. So, you know, like when kids learn new things, they tend to learn it more through play. So I'm just going to stick that two pennies worth in as well. So over to John, what would you say Qigong is?
I'm always interested in, well, if you look at the dictionary definitions and these standard translations, what you get is the idea of you're walking through a park in China and you're going, what are they doing over there? You know, and I think if you Google it, it says something like a form of breathing and exercise related to Tai Chi or something like that. You know, it really is very much the, what is that?
Yeah.
I'm interested in the why. Why do people do it? And I think the why is a far more interesting question, because then when you start looking at that, you look at the terms qi and gong, which are the two component parts of it.
I think if you look at the concept of qi, you look at a far bigger idea than simply energy. It's a far bigger thing within Chinese culture. I would say in simple terms, any invisible force that creates change is qi. So therefore, you know, the wind on the ocean, you can't see the wind, it creates change, it's qi. And so what you're doing is you're working with an invisible force that creates change. And gung...
gung gets translated as work. I completely agree about the play. I think a lot of the translations are quite problematic because the Chinese words have far more meaning to them than a British word. I always like the idea of mastery. You know, mastery as in when you mastered riding a bike. You didn't suddenly become the best cyclist in the world. You were just able to use the skill in order to do what it needs to do.
I like that, yes.
And also the added bonus of that is that That means everybody can become a Qigong master very, very quickly, and we can get rid of the damn hierarchy.
Although there are the grandmasters as well, aren't there? And yeah, there are people that have been practicing for many years, but this is not about them. It's about you and why you would want to do Qigong. So I heard a story about why people in China do Qigong, and something about the Cultural Revolution back in the back in the 1950s wasn't it now? It was suggested that because there wasn't enough money to have a national health service, that they were encouraged to do these preventive healthcare exercises in order to keep themselves well. And it's like, wow, can you imagine that happening in the UK?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that story is definitely one that does the rounds. And it's kind of, it kind of loses sight of the fact that Qigong, you know, they think is thousands of years old. I've seen cave paintings that look like an exercise I do every morning, which I think is really encouraging. I love that. You know, it's been going for thousands of years. And I think the bottom line is that, you know, people do it because they feel better when they do it. And people have always known that. But yeah, I agree with you. It was certainly encouraged by Mao and his lot because of, sort of his barefoot medicine, I think, just to try and keep the country healthy. And yeah, I'm with you. That's kind of one of the reasons that One Qi came about for me, was just that idea of trying to inspire more people to keep themselves healthy rather than getting ill.
So important, this, isn't it? Because we are used to, in the Western culture, getting ill and then sorting it out afterwards, you know, symptomatic disease control. And I'm an ex-nurse, as you may or may not know, and it was very interesting working in that so-called healthcare profession. Don't get me wrong, I have a lot of respect for people that do work in there, but I feel it's more of a disease management system, really. And where is the encouragement for people to find ways to look after themselves so they don't get ill in the first place? We just don't seem to have this running through our culture. And it's something that Wan Qi is here to help shift, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I absolutely, I think so. And I think one of the other pieces that becomes really interesting here is that because we got such a great offering within the NHS that is free at the point of delivery, it becomes the default option for all of our healthcare needs. So therefore, we learn culturally to interact with them based on that structure. So what we're talking about here isn't about sticking something else into the NHS. We're talking about actually starting to change the culture so that people start to look after their health and start to make it a preventative thing. But obviously the NHS is where people go to. So this is where the change needs to start.
Yes, it's got to be part of it, hasn't it? So what, how did, I don't even know why I'm asking this question because I know the answer to it. But for those of you that are listening, what is the One Qi project and what are you up to? What is it about? What does One Qi mean? And yeah, can you help me with this, guys? Where are we going to go?
One Qi, yeah. One Qi as in one style of Qigong, really. Not one style, but a bringing together of lots of Qigong teachers. That's what we're hoping for, is this ability to gather teachers from all over the UK. And so that's one of the important things to say, is that it's... specifically, sorry, that's my phone going off.
Classic, isn't it? This is Jeremy before we did this, saying, has everybody got their phone off? And he's like, apart from B, I forgot to put that one.
I didn't even know what was ringing there.
So maybe we could, whilst you're doing that, he's trying to sort out his tech, his watch. We will say that Wan Qi is a unifying hub for Qigong teachers in the UK, and it came about initially from a conversation that John and I had back in January. So this is before the whole situation that we now find ourselves in had even begun. And so John and I had been meeting up reasonably regularly, having chats about Qi, because we've known each other for many years, having come from the College of Elemental Qigong in London. And I think we were just sort of saying, like, if Qi is the unifying factor in all the practices that we do, is there a possibility here to actually be able to unify the teachers in the UK?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm always inspired by something that happened about 7 or 8 years ago. And we'd got some Chinese teachers over, and it was the first time they'd been into this country. And one of the teachers was asked on the retreat that we were running, because this particular system of Qigong, there's somebody who, on the Qigong grapevine, evidently had been saying they'd developed something that was better than this system that the other teacher did. And so on the retreat, this teacher was asked, you know, what do you think of people who say that they've developed something that's better than your particular style of Qigong? And his response was, all Qigong leads to oneness. All Qigong leads to equality. How can any system be better than anything else when the aim is equality, is oneness? And that I find really inspiring. It's just the idea that, yeah, we're going to have different words, we're going to have different ways of expressing things, but the ultimate aim is the same. And if we get caught up in the detail of, well, you shouldn't push out with this part, you should push out with this part, or you shouldn't stand like this, you're missing the point. Qigong goes so far, so much further beyond that. It's a bit like an argument as to which side does the indicator stalk go in the car. It doesn't matter. It's what you do with it that actually makes the difference. And therefore, if we can come together under that commonality, under that idea of this is where we're going, and yeah, this is the tool set that we use, I think we create a far better idea of what Qigong is. And we don't create sort of infighting and claims of my dad's bigger than your dad type of stuff, which is, it just doesn't speak well of the quality of the practice that sits behind the school to me.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, John, unity is ultimately the aim, but that's never really been the way of it. What's tended to happen for generation after generation is that there's been separation, is that every single one of these teachers has, you know, claimed more efficacy, has insisted their form is better. And ultimately, the problem with that has always been in ancient Chinese ideas was having enough students to support yourself. And so you had to make sort of rash, crazy claims to, you know, say that I'm the best person to get more students, to get more money. And so, of course, it always comes down to, you know, dirty, filthy lucre in the end. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is that it's created a schism in the world of Qigong. And as you say, everything should have just been heading in one direction, which is unity and simplicity. But actually what was happening was it was heading in the totally opposite direction into a million different fields, much more complexity. And just like the legal profession, with all due respect to you, and to the doctor's profession, with all due respect to you, you know, the way that they have kept themselves so separate for many years is to talk Latin, is to make up new words, new rules. You know, Qigong was no different to that. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of different sort of kind of ideas and so forth. And, you know, in the end, it became sort of a bit of a minefield. And so I think ultimately what, you know, it has been happening with what's essentially a new wave of Qigong. You know, I wonder how many times through the millennia people have thought about a new wave and said, no, this is the new wave. But, you know, I'm really hoping that this is the new wave, or certainly it's a new wave. Mm. And the idea with the new wave here is that, you know, we're trying to simplify and we're trying to unify. And we're trying to make this approachable for everybody, you know, something that you don't have to. I mean, I've been through umpteen teachers where there are huge pieces that they never ever explained. You know, I had to try and guess at it, I had to try and research it myself, I had to try and figure out what was going on, because they just weren't prepared to tell you. And and that for me is it's not egalitarian in any way. And so, yeah, hopefully, you know, the idea behind One Qi is incredible simplicity, open it out, make it totally available to everybody, of, you know, every age, of every ability, and to simplify.
Yeah, love it. Thank you, Jeremy. It's reminding us, though, that although there's lots of different versions and varieties, just as there are in people in the world, there is this unifying factor that connects us all, and it's this commonality that we're noticing is occurring. So between the three of us, the conversations that we've had, you know, we've learned from each other as we've been speaking, because we've all been practicing for a long time, but we're always learning. I mean, that's the other thing, always like curious about how is that and how is that. And so we invited some more people in to the One Qi project as founding members, and you can see them and us, if you would like to, on onechi.org. That is onechi.org. And we're just getting a lovely collective together of different schools of Qigong players in the UK. And it's fascinating. The conversations that we're having, they're deep and they're juicy and they're very respectful as well. This interest, this honest interest that we have in one another's ways of teaching is just so heartwarming. It's the complete opposite of what you were saying, and my Qigong's better than yours. It's like, we just don't even go there with that. It's like, what have you got to give to this? What can you share? And it feels like you say, like a new wave. Obviously, it's not like punk rock, you know. It's the new wave of...
Perhaps it is like punk rock. Perhaps this is exactly how it starts. I was sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say there is only one commonality, really, which is the dividing line of health or no health. And it's become such a thing these days. You know, it's way beyond money and it's way beyond anything else. And that's it. And all Qigong is basically heading in the direction of health. You know, so that's why it's sort of, you know, picking up such a pace, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's becoming a go-to exercise form for your mind and your body and your soul, so that you get your whole multidimensional being to work together, to play nicely. So you take care of the physical body, and that encourages the energetic, so your meridian lines and your dantians, your elixir fields are all on board to help your mind settle. Your mind starts becoming interested in the different areas of your body, not so stuck in the head. And I think in this day and age, with the amount of anxiety and fear and stress around, practices like Qigong are really coming into their own. And don't get me wrong, I know that yoga is very useful, but there's a lot of yoga teachers that and practitioners who really love Qigong as well. It's like yoga is great alongside Qigong. They work beautifully together. Like Qigong works very well with that, all mindfulness practices and other energy healing disciplines. And of course, it underpins acupuncture and shiatsu. And there's a big link with cranial sacral work. I've had it described to me before by people that have had an experience of Qigong for the first time, that is like the missing piece of the energy modalities jigsaw puzzle. It's like, oh, it's the Qigong that was missing. Have you had that experience?
Yeah, I think it's quite a common sort of piece that, I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody who's an acupuncturist, and she was saying about how when we went into lockdown, she was unable to work. And then suddenly, because she started doing Qigong, she was going, I don't need to put needles into people. I can get them to do movement in order to create the effects that I'm looking for. There's something wonderfully flexible about it. There's something very accessible about it. And I think, you know, we talk about lots of different people have lots of different needs, and you tend to find that you will find something that appeals to you within Qigong. I think it goes from the other side as well, that lots of different therapists have lots of different needs and things that they do. And, you know, when your modality is fixed into a particular way of doing things, working with systems such as Qigong can open up a bit of space and give you a bit of perspective. It doesn't take away from what you do. It adds colour, it adds flavour, it adds depth.
And it also hands it over to the receiver or the practitioner to heal themselves. Now, massive topic. I know all three of us really love this. And we're with John Miller and Jeremy College from the One Qi Project. And we're diving into what Qigong is about. Why would you even want to do it? Those of you who are doing it, what are you getting from it? Do let us know. We have a Facebook page, One Qi, and we have a YouTube channel, One Qi, as well. So drop us comments where you can if you'd like to get involved in this conversation. But certainly this piece about personal empowerment, you can heal yourself. You know, this is absolutely massive. And I think it's the nux of what we're doing here.
I think it's absolutely toxic.
As well, yeah. What are we not doing? Yeah.
I think this is probably the sort of the biggest hole that, you know, the three of us could possibly fall into, because ultimately, I'll just skip to another subject briefly. I was looking through What the Doctors Don't Tell You magazine the other
day. Ah, yes.
And there are several pages there where there are, people advertising their wares, as it were. And they were, you know, one of the world's greatest healers and all this sort of stuff. And that's always been a problem. And don't get me wrong, because I also trained as a Qigong healer. And it was only when I moved on to Zheneng Qigong that I started to appreciate what our founder, so I appreciate different style to you, Clara, but what the founder of Zheneng Qigong was saying, his name is a guy called Dr. Pang, and basically he was saying, what's the point in healing someone if all that's going to happen is that their old patterns repeat and they get back to the same place? So teach them how to heal themselves is a much, you know, it's the give a guy a fish, teach a guy how to fish story, isn't it? But I remember one of our teachers told a story very briefly. I'll repeat it. And he sort of said they used to go to a multimillionaire in Hong Kong who paid them really well just to emit energy into him. And he was a businessman. He'd constantly be on the phone sort of talking to people, and they'd sort of, you know, be standing there giving him healing, and he'd be carrying on, no, more, give me more healing, give me more healing. Until eventually one day they just said, if you're not going to be part of this process, we've got no interest. And I imagine they were being paid really well for it. You know, I'm sure it was a kind of like a tap of money that they were just literally switching off by saying, if you don't want to take part in the healing process, that we're not going to carry on. And him saying, oh, no, come on, keep going. And of course, you know, and sadly, the story ends that a few months later, this gentleman passed on. You know, they were just supporting him to keep doing the same old things he was doing. So yeah, it's quite toxic, because suddenly, you know, I've taken on the entire world of healing on my own, and I'm really hoping either of you are going to support me in this and not just chuck me down a coal cellar.
I was going to say, I completely agree. I think that when you look at the piece about, because I worked as a healer, I trained as a healer before getting involved in Qigong. And I described it once as just being like an expensive spiritual paracetamol. You know, it's probably one of the best business models in the world. And the whole thing about Big Pharma, it's exactly that business model that we're in. We're just on a smaller scale if we're working as healers. Because what you do is you create dependence. You disempower.
Oh, but you don't want to create dependence. That's the point.
Qigong shouldn't be about creating dependence. No. It should be about creating the space for people to change. It should be about creating the space for self-healing. Yeah, sure. If you're getting through a sticky pit and you need a bit of external help, it's great to give somebody healing. If it gets them over the hump, if it gets them through something, if you can ease somebody's pain so that they can actually see things differently, that's a different thing. But if all you're doing is removing the symptoms so that they can carry on doing what they've already done and then come back to you next week to pay you a load of cash to remove the symptom again, all you're doing is trapping them.
Yeah.
It's a very fine line.
Yeah. But it's a line that we're discussing here. It's about personal responsibility. And I think with the current situation that we're in, this whole shift of how we are in the world, and that our health is so important to us, there is an opportunity and a space for people to have a reset, a consideration of like, well, if I've got a little bit more time, how would I like to look after myself? You know, all that meditation that I promise myself I do every morning that I haven't done. Well, maybe I could do that now. So I think the opportunity is here to bring in some new patterns of healthful behavior. And with the Qigong high on our list, because it is available to anyone, whatever stage of the game you're at, from top athletes to children, to people with cardiovascular disease, to people that can't even stand up, to people that do lots of running. I mean, it can be tailored to your needs, because it's about your energy system and how you manage yourselves and your physicality, how your joints are, and that maneuverability, that mobility, should I say. And this, what is the other fascinating thing that I find when I'm sharing these teachings with people, is that we mentioned the 70% rule of not pushing and not straining and not making yourself. We don't do stretches in Qigong, for instance. We do joint openers, and we repeat them over and over again. So you get levels and layers of release. This is hugely respectful to your system. It hands it over to you to feel what feels good, rather than looking outwardly and going, I should be doing it like that. And this is another shift, isn't it, to the internal perspective that I think is really central to our Qigong practice.
Yeah, I think you've just hit the nail on the head there, the internal. And so obviously we have these different ideas of Neigung, which is kind of internal work, and Qigong, but essentially they all kind of like come under the same banner. And that's one of the things that really interests me, is that more often than not in Qigong systems, you find a complete mind-body kind of approach. And very often, you know, in basics, you start off with Qigong and all you're doing is just sort of stretchy, bendy stuff. But actually, most schools give you the entire kind of body-mind approach. And I find that interesting because, I don't ever wish to be critical of something as enormous as yoga, which is fantastic. But the thing that we'd slightly miss in the West is the depth of different parts to yoga. And so I know nothing about it, and please forgive me if you're a yoga teacher, but I think there's something like, seven different types of yoga, including yoga of the breath, yoga of movement, yoga of the mind, yoga of, I don't know, eating or whatever. You can see how little I know about it. But I think that very often in the West, they just grab yoga of movement. And I find that, it seems to be missing out an awful lot. So we concentrate a lot when we work on the body-mind connection and the completeness of the whole thing. And so, yes, you have to figure out a form very, very quickly and understand how to get the body moving and things like that. But very soon, the rest of it comes in behind, which is the kind of, I don't know, universal connection, if you like, and how that relates to your health as well and how that relates to your body. For me, Qigong feels very complete.
I want to pick up on that 70-30 rule as well, because I think that, there's a fine line that sits in here. And I've studied in quite a few different schools, and actually the school of Qigong that I've landed in, that I have committed myself to completely, is the one that was the most uncomfortable and the most difficult for me when I started. And the reason that I did it was because actually what I found was, in my other practices, I'd become so familiar and so comfortable with it that I wasn't going anywhere. We need a level of challenge. We need a level of discomfort within the practice in order to help us move through, but not enough to shut us down. And so I think there's always this piece, and I think this is what people get from the repetition that you spoke about. If you do a movement once, everybody can do that movement once. If you carry it on for 5 minutes, how many people can carry it on for 5 minutes? What is there within that? And I think these levels of discomfort, these levels of exploration, these levels of challenge become really interesting. And obviously, as you've already said, if you're working with a world-class athlete, they will have a completely different level of discomfort, a completely different idea of what's going to challenge them to somebody who may have significant mobility issues. If you work with somebody who's been meditating for years, who's able to actually just let go of everything in the head, again, completely different to somebody who's focus-driven, absolutely on it, head full of stuff. And I think with Qigong, what we need to be looking at is giving people the challenge so that they can just push through that little bit further. And I think that, and I hate to say it because it probably means no one's going to come to my classes ever again, I think it sits in that area of being uncomfortable. But productively.
This is the sort of conversations that us three like to get into. So it's so great that we're actually recording this one, because I think this encouraging people to come into the practice by saying it's accessible, which it is, be working with what feels useful for you, which it is, gets you into through the mechanics of, like, how am I doing my spinal turn? Am I got everything the right way up? Anatomically correct when I'm doing the turn, and my feet, my hips and my knees in the right position. You go into the mechanics and you go in with don't push yourself more than 70%. Not that it's easy to gauge what 70% is, I might add. But then, as you say, John, it's the repetition. How many people will then continue doing spinal turn for a little bit longer? I remember in our training with Jed Sumner was one of the our teachers. I remember doing spinal turn with him. It was like, when is he going to stop? But a good teacher will hold that space for you and take you to the edge, take you to that place that you wouldn't have gone on your own,
Absolutely. And if somebody first coming in, then you will find challenges within Qigong. But I think the thing that becomes interesting is, how do you maintain that challenge as you go through? I've played with forms, and you practice them every day. 6 months down the line, you'll be standing there in your garden doing the form and suddenly realize that the only reason you're doing the form is because you're good at it. Mm-hmm. At which point it's time to give up.
Yeah, or to bring in other aspects. Or it's every single time we come into doing the practice, it should be different from the time before, subtly, or you're not engaging. But come on, we are a little bit further down the line here, I've been doing this for like over 25 years, as I'm sure you have as well. But the challenge is that moment one, the first challenge is actually doing the practice every day, just making sure that you're on with it, that you do that, you know, that you make that non-negotiable honoring of yourself to take care of yourself in that way. And then
I remember the first time one of my Chinese teachers visited my class. It was in Balham in South London. And afterwards they said, just explain to me, do these people just come once a week, like squash or something, and do an hour of it? I said, yeah, mostly. And they kind of went, they shook their heads. They couldn't quite believe that you might only do 1 hour of Qigong a week, as opposed to a minimum of 1 hour a day. But obviously you have to start somewhere. And I think that's kind of what we were thinking about when we started this idea of Wan Qi, is that, you know, can we find a way to get people interested in doing some simple exercise that has deep kind of benefits beneath it that you could just do anywhere, you know, not quite at your local shopping mall, but, you know, that kind of thing. When I was thinking about sort of the big vision myself, I was just thinking what I want is this, the ability that even young school kids could be doing it every morning, you know, and obviously that feels a bit like China because all kids sort of used to do Qigong school. I don't know if they do now, but doing it in school, you know, having the chance to go down to the gym and see a simple class where they do it there, going to your local surgery, have a class where they can do it, go to hospitals where they have a morning class. That's the kind of, you know, ubiquity I'm looking for, and something dead simple to get started with.
I love it. And one of my wishes is that we get as many Qigong teachers in the UK as we have yoga teachers. I mean, that might be a bit bold, but that's what I would like. What is your wish for Wan Qi, John?
Oh, now you've put me on the spot, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
I'd like the true potential of Qigong to become available to everybody. I don't want Qigong to just be to evolve into something that it's not. I want it to be the full potential. And I'd like Wan Qi to be the place that people can go to actually find a really big picture of what's going on in the UK. It'd be great if it is the go-to place, the hub that people then can go out to and find their local teachers doing styles that they really engage with and really find the space to change through it.
Yeah, beautiful. Find the space. Love it. You're listening to Wan Qi with Clara Apollo on UK Health Radio.
What happens if you look at the idea of just expand out and gather back?
If you're watching this on YouTube, because we have our YouTube channel, Wan Qi, you can see what John's doing with his hands. Could we explain this to people who are listening on UK Health Radio?
Yeah, it's just this idea that actually, if you allow your awareness to expand out, so you notice the space all around you, and then once you've expanded your awareness out, bring your awareness back inside and notice the awareness back inside you. If you do that, there's so many things that you can find in that. And that could be just a simple breath.
I was going to say, if you coordinate that with the in-breath and noticing everything around you, the air around you and above you, as you in, it's even more than that, it can expand to however long you want to expand to your breath is breathing in. And then when you breathe out, you're gathering.
For those of us who are listening, what Clara's doing is opening her hands and closing her hands like a big ball. And that's what John was doing too.
Thank you.
Keep going.
A team, yes.
But then does it matter which way the breath goes? Because actually quite often you'll find that the out-breath connects you out and the in-breath connects you in, and sometimes it flips. And does it matter? And the answer to me is no. The most important thing is, where is your awareness?
Okay.
Where are you putting your qi? Where are you putting your awareness? Now, if you think of this in a situation that is challenging or difficult that you may come across within your life, if you've learnt the La Qi technique and you've started to take it into these more difficult situations, it becomes a habit. So when you're having a difficult conversation with somebody, our focus always tends to be inside. That hurt me. How do I feel? You know, all of the vocabulary that we have around this. But actually, by opening up the perception, what you do is, well, what is the other person talking about? It gives you the opportunity to listen. And actually, if you take a little while over the breath, you don't say anything. And then the person even thinks you're listening to them, which is also handy. But, you know, it's taking these ideas and going, how can I use La Qi in order to maintain a more stable emotional state in difficult situations?
So can I just say, what we haven't said what La Qi is to anyone.
Ah, sorry.
Yeah, fair enough. I was just going to say that as well. I mean, there's a sort of a standard kind of throughout Chinese, throughout Taoism and things like that, which is this idea of using balls of energy. That sounds very nice, doesn't it? But it's also this idea that in the universe, and I think it sort of gets played out in things like quantum physics as well, that the universe principally expands and contracts, and neatly enough, our breath kind of expands and contracts as well. So we can just imagine balls. Jeremy's now opening his hands, contracting. Jeremy's bringing his hands together again like a football. So we get this kind of idea of expansion and contraction and exactly that. And it's almost like how you interact with other people. It's allowing yourself to become more open and then sort of, you know, becoming more aware of yourself. So it runs throughout all kind of qigong moves and exercises and understanding this kind of gentle sort of opening and closing idea. Mm. And John says, you know, in our particular style, we call it La Qi, which essentially means stretching qi, I think.
Oh, stretchy chi.
Yeah, stretching your chi.
Yummy, yummy. Oh, brilliant. Oh, it's so great speaking with you here. Anything that we want to just share with people before we go? I think possibly around if they want to get in touch with us, then it's info@onechi.org. Hop over to that website, onechi.org, or the YouTube channel Onechi, that's all one word, and the Facebook group Onechi, and watch this space because we are wanting to share more with you. We've got a good dozen qigong schools running through Onechi at the moment, and each and every one has already gifted their video as to how they got into qigong. They're also sharing stuff around it as well, so this is showing us this breadth of experience, because one size does not fit all. Stay tuned to Onechi here on UK Health Radio. What about you, Jeremy? What's your wish for Onechi?
Quote the great teacher Michael Jackson, we are the world. We are the children. For me, it's the kids. You know, I would love young people, more young people, to take it on as a sort of a daily habit, as it were. Because I kind of think that if you're starting at that bedrock level and expanding out from kids, then it would just over a couple of generations just become something that everybody does. And my feeling is that if you could get that kind of thinking moving, that it would completely ameliorate all the problems we're having with our NHS, you know, the sort of the not enough money to do this and so forth. I just get the feeling that, for me, one of the fundamentals of qigong is that it makes you understand and listen to your body much better. Mm-hmm. And when you're listening to your body, you're not doing so much damage to your body. And when you're not doing so much damage to your body, you're not going to cost the nation, you know, fortune and things like that. And, you know, in theory, you should live longer, happier, less expensive for the NHS lives. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm all for getting this in at a bedrock level. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, expanding it that way.
Brilliant. Well, thank you all so much for your wisdom and your wit. It's always great hanging out with you two. And for the listeners, thank you so much for listening to us gabbling away about qigong. We're going to bring some more similar conversations to you over the next few months. And we look forward to sharing more tools and techniques that are going to help you in your life to make it just much better, much easier, and so that you give yourself back to you. I think that's one of the big things. Give yourself back to yourself and be kind and be respectful to this amazing being that you are. Because let's face it, each and every one of us is a flipping miracle. And on that note, dear miracle being, I hope you've been inspired to tune into the wisdom of your qi and felt your awesome power. And on next week's Onechi Radio, we're looking at the topic of harmony and how embracing this core principle at the heart of us can help us manage all the changes that we're going through. So I think we've just about enough time to play one of my favourite tunes that I like to imagine us gathering by this fireside to, singing from ourselves to one another. It's a stunning one by Alexia Chelum. Perhaps you know it already. It's called The Power Is Here Now. because it is, and you are. So till next week, thank you so much for listening to One Qi on UK Health Radio with me, Clara Apollo.
To create magic on earth, the power of love is here now. The power of now is here now. The power of you and me is here to create magic on earth. Fire burn away your fears. Let the wind blow into your life. Such faith and trust. Oh, let the earth hold you, take care of you, and nurture you. Oh, the power of love is here now. The power of now is here now. The power of you and me is here to create magic on earth. The power of love is here now. The power of now is here now. The power of you and me is here to create magic on earth.
You've been listening to One Qi Radio with Clara Apollo. If you'd like to find out how Qigong can enhance your health further, come join our community at onechi.org.